The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 443. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And joining us by special request, man, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Good evening, everybody.
All right, we're all right. By the way, people, we're also going to have our boy, Mr. Otaku Man 5000, Andre Tipton, on. He is driving back home, so he'll just join us when he joins us. Hold on, we haven't even started the show. Mop Hits already raining those bits on us, man. Let's go. Good stuff, man. Thank you for that.
Shout out to Mop Hits.
Yes, always, man. So shout out to the Throwdown fam. And by the way, update on Brian. So he, you know, everything's kind of, you know, getting settled in. I think he has to do some more painting or something on his house. But he said he will probably join us again at the end of July. So that's pretty close, actually. I think we're like halfway through July. So we will be hearing Brian's dulcet tones very soon, you know. Bring some class to this fucking podcast. You know?
Yeah, maybe by the time he joins the show, all this bullshit will be done with and we can actually start talking about fun shit.
Yeah, and I think we need to address the elephant in the room. I'm just going to say it, man. Adam will actually not be joining us until this is over. He's tired of it. I don't disagree with him when he says that things have become way too toxic. And now it seems things have become too political when it comes to the FTC stuff. So he is not going to be on Throwdown until this is over. I know that's going to upset some of you guys because, you know, despite what Adam may think, a lot of you guys actually like hearing Adam's opinion. People were asking, oh, is Adam going to be on? That's kind of upsetting that Adam feels away, but I'm not going to force him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it is. And I sympathize with his position, you know? This is getting ugly, and I've made it very clear. I'm very upset that this fucking story has taken over all of gaming. We're actually getting good video games now, and we can't talk about these things because of this goddamn trial, you know? But at the same time, this is what you guys want us to talk about, so we're going to talk about it. We can't ignore the biggest... Like, I've always said, Throwdown... You could literally have another 9/11 happen and we'll ignore it because we're talking about games. But this is the main thing of gaming. We can't ignore that, despite how some of us would wish for this fucking thing to end. Because it is just, it's annoying. It's annoying as fuck, you know? Very upset this is going on. Very upset at the fucking FTC for not knowing how to take a fucking L, you know? It's like, we want this thing to be over. We saw the light, man. We saw the light. We saw the light. We're like, yeah, we're finally free. Give us free, like Amistad, right? Nope. We're going to appeal. We're going to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because we hate you. And we're going to drag this shit out to make you suffer, you pieces of shit. You know, that's the way I feel about the FTC, you know, is like dogging on us right now. I'm very upset we got to keep talking about this nonsense, you know, but there it is. Let's get into it, man. Brett, I'm going to jump into you because, like, because you and Adam are the most informed guys about this because you're the only ones I really give a shit about this thing, you know. But now you're like the only man to talk about this, and I'm very grateful that you're here to tell us what's going on, because I'll be honest, I was so busy this week with Prime Day and fucking Apple stuff that I don't know what the hell's going on. All I know is that fucking FTC decided not to take an L, and this fucking con woman is getting destroyed, probably rightfully so, you know, on fucking Congress and shit. So what is going on right now, man, Brett?
Oh, man. Lots of stuff. You know, I can kind of relate to Adam. It's one of those things, like, We're actually kind of in the middle of it. I think Adam's a little bit more pro than I am.
Oh yeah. Hold on, Brad. I gotta stop you. Is this true? Bob Pitt says that this has been over for a few hours, that the judge denied the appeal. Is this true?
Oh, good.
Good.
I hope it's over.
Thank fucking God.
Let me go check Tom Warren's
Twitter. Go take Tom Warren. Yo, by the way, real quick, Tom Warren, shout out to that brother, man. He has been really on top of this stuff, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
Sorry, Brett. I need to interject just to confirm. Yep, Tom Warren 2 hours ago tweeted out the judge's order. As expected, Judge Corley has denied the FTC's motion to stay her own PI order. I'm expecting we'll hear something from the Ninth Circuit tomorrow.
The Ninth Circuit. But
this whole is ridiculous. Like, the FTC clearly went into this with bias from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I said this back when it happened. Like, this is, just have this, like, hate boner for Microsoft. And listen, I don't have a dog in this race. Like we said, Carlos has pointed out, I don't care. I didn't care if Microsoft got this or not. This is just getting ridiculous. Either give it to them or don't give it to them. But this fight, the argumentation, the judge even said that they don't have any standing in this because what they presented doesn't prove any anti-competitive behavior. So we got to let it go. You lost. And you're spending our money to fight Microsoft buying Activision right now. That's what people should be mad at. Who do you think is paying for these?
Are paying for this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? And Chris, okay, I don't know how much you know about this con woman, but I've been told that apparently she's like an ideologue and stuff. And you know those fucking people don't know how to let anything go. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like now it's like she's doubling down on trying to break this deal. And it's like, listen, where were you when Disney was eating another major movie studio? Like, they didn't just buy up, Marvel and Lucasfilm before that. You let them eat 20th Century Fox. I didn't hear anybody complain. I didn't see you file any motion to – it's like, hey, wow, that's kind of anti-competitive, this monopoly. Nothing. All these acquisitions happen in tech, gaming, whatever, nothing. Microsoft buys companies all the time. Crickets. All of a sudden, it's like, no, this is a bridge too far. Really? What is it about this? This isn't even like technology like OpenAI or another company. This is like video games.
Yeah.
What specifically about this is a bridge too far, where it's like not just anti-competitive, it's going to set off all these antitrust alarms for you that nothing else that's happened that everybody's like, whoa, shit, Disney is like bigger than ever or whatever. You know, all these things around Google's buying up companies. Look at the Google graveyard of all the things
they
purchased, tried to repurpose and failed and then shut it down. You know, and so it's like ridiculous.
It's fucking nuts. Anyway, Brett, I'm sorry. Go on, man.
Oh, it's cool. I'm trying to even think of like where to fucking start, honestly. Because like, you all bring up really good points, and this is obviously, like I was telling Adam earlier today, like, this is somebody who's clearly trying to make a career, right? Like, this isn't about the issue at hand. It's like, you know, as Tony said, it's an ideologue, and I don't have a problem with ideologues necessarily. It's just in certain situations like this where, like, you've got an agenda that is not lining up, and you're not fucking letting it go. You're like a dog with a bone. And I kind of think that's a lot of what this was, right? Like, she got into the FTC head chair. She wanted to do big things. She wasn't a big fan of corporations. And again, I understand that. And I understand that different people are wearing the same hat. This isn't a monolith. But, like, you can't just hard shift from previous directions that you were taking as an organization, right? So, you know, like Chris said, like, you didn't say anything when Disney was gobbling anything up. You didn't say anything when the telecommunications industry went to fucking, like, that is the most corrupt industry I have fucking ever seen. The people who give you your cable and your internet are just fucking with you. Most of the time, they have agreements not to fight with other people, they've designated certain areas. If you want to talk about non-compete, that's the reason that our telecommunication as a country is far behind the rest of the world. Places that are way less developed than we are have way better internet. And it's because of all these anti-competitive practices. Like, you want to, if you really want to get in there and dig in for corruption, it's fucking there. But it's not this high-profile, flashy case about a fucking video game, right? Like, that's not what it is. So the fact that you just keep pursuing this is, yeah, it's just telling of ulterior motives. And we can sit here all day and, like, kind of guess, like, well, you know, maybe it's her morals, maybe it's her ethics, maybe she's trying to, you know, push her own career, maybe she, you know, has alliances or talks with somebody or, you know, knows this person, blah, 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 blah. There's so much fucking going on. But I think what it really boils down to is this was a stupid case pushed by somebody with an ulterior, with ulterior motives. And I think everybody can kind of agree with that at this point, right? Like, that's so like, that's the label, that's the sticker. We can close that kind of box and put it that way. And that's for the case. Now there's a whole bunch of shit surrounding the case. And that's this giant fucking shit sandwich that is Twitter and everybody talking and public opinion. That aside, the case itself, I think we can agree, was ill-founded. It didn't make sense. They were unprepared. And it was brought by people who were clearly worried about something other than the thing that they presented. Whether or not you agree with that thing, I think that these are all basic facts that we can agree on. And I think we all really need to listen to that real fucking hard, because like some people here seem to be just wanting to deny reality. And it's weird. Like, I understand you may agree with them, but you can't say that this was a good argument, even with you, if you agree with that weird ulterior motive, right? Like, you could, it's, I don't even have a good allegory. It's just fucking stupid. Like, I can't think of a good metaphor of an equal scenario that even makes sense, because it's kind of ridiculous. You're arguing this side point, and you have other people agreeing with this side. Like, you know, it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of like a fucking witch trial from Monty Python, man. Like, it's obvious, but everybody's kind of caught up in this thing, and they have their own agenda, so they're just kind of going with this flow of like, oh, they're going to eat up everybody. And I guess that there are a few people who are legitimately concerned about it, but like, look, Microsoft has had the opportunity to buy a bunch of other companies. It's passed. It seems like it's kind of done with its big gobbling phase. We went through this with EA. I don't think that they're going to go and just buy out the whole industry, right? Like, that's not really conducive for them. And I think Sony is fully capable of being competitive and surviving in an industry that they've dominated in for 20 years. So I think we're all going to be fucking okay.
Oh, I will disagree with one of your points, Brett. Microsoft is not done. For the most part this year, probably. But, you know, after this year, all hands on deck. Because that's just what Microsoft does.
I kind of understand, but like, here's the thing. Like, I think everybody is looking at the facts, and I think that's great. But I don't think enough people are kind of asking why. Like, if we look at the situation 5 years ago, everybody was screaming at Microsoft to get some fucking games on your goddamn platform. And like, it's, what do you do from there? Where do you go?
We're still asking for that.
No, I know, but like, that's, you know, it that's where it started, and since then people have been yelling about it. Like, so what do? You acquire some studios to get some fucking games, because if you don't have anything in the pipeline, well, you just shit the bed. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna pack it up, go home, not make another console? Maybe that's not what they decided to do. So obviously, if you look at kind of motivations and actions, like, yeah, okay, so they're gonna buy a bunch of studios. That doesn't mean that they need to go and buy the whole fucking industry. They're just trying to get a suite of games that helps define them as a brand, man.
Yeah, well, it's not as innocent as you make it seem. They've stated this, and we saw it from one of the documents.
Yeah, they flat out said they wanted to outbuy Sony or whatever.
No, they said that they could. They said that they could, and that they didn't. But like, I know, and I understand. And I'm not saying it's innocent. I'm just saying it's predictable. Like, how people didn't see this coming. I mean, I guess we all did, but at the same time, it show me where it makes financial sense for them to just keep hemorrhaging money. You know, an acquisition phase is understandable. It makes good fiscal sense, right? Like, you're investing and you're acquiring to have things in the future, right? I don't think that just buy all the competition until we own everything is a legitimate financial decision. Like, I don't think that that's a good thing. I don't think companies decide that either. That's very weirdly supervillain. And I understand that they have the money to just buy everything if they need to, but they're not going that direction. It doesn't seem like they're going that direction.
I just feel like there's so many different types of qualifiers we can add to this whole scenario that are all true. But when people hear one of them, it sounds like you're one way or the other. Like we've discussed previously, do we prefer Microsoft acquiring this Activision Blizzard, or do we prefer Tencent doing it, mm-hmm. or the Saudi group or wherever? Obviously, most of us will say Microsoft. But then again, do we think that Microsoft is here to acquire these games and feel like this is the best way for Microsoft to organically create a bunch of studios that, you know, will release the games that we feel like are, you know, ones that we want to play? Not necessarily. It's being done in a sort of in a ham-fisted way, sort of a brute force way that, you know, Microsoft doesn't have the best track record with acquiring studios. So that's another point. And then, you know, there's just so many levels to this that we can add to this whole scenario. Do we feel like Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard means the doom for Sony? No. You know, do we fear monopolies? Do we fear? Yes. You know, there's just so many layers to this onion that, you know, when you can answer all of them, and just seeing one independently makes you seem like you're, you know.
Well, no, I understand that. But like, context is important, right? Like, we're talking about an industry where Sony has enough stronghold or enough leverage to just leverage their market share for exclusivity. That's a huge amount of pull, and that shows a very lopsided industry. And in that context, I'm not really super concerned. Like, if Microsoft were that brief point where Microsoft looked like they were on top with the 360, if we were talking that Microsoft, I'd be getting uncomfortable right now. I understand that we could still get there. Right?
Ironically, the 360 era is the era where they should have acquired all these studios.
But EA was acquiring so much shit, and like it would have looked really bad. Like, especially then, that would have made me go, "Oh fuck no, this ain't cool. This is an arms race between EA and Microsoft, and I don't like that because I'm a Sony man." Because, yeah, I was definitely PlayStation by the time 360 came around. Because fuck that noise. Sony, there's got to be not talking about that.
Yeah. Just real quick, Andre's trying to get in. Is he still added in the chat here, Carlos?
Yeah, I can try to message him.
Yeah, message him so he can get in. And here's the thing, Brett, go to your point, right? And again, I know some of you guys don't think this is true, but it's the truth, right? You some people out there are think of this. You guys remember in school when they showed you those old videos of Nazi Germany spreading out like an octopus, right?
Videos of Nazi Germany spreading out like a octopus.
I'm hearing myself.
Nazi Germany spreading out.
Why am I hearing myself?
Andre, we can hear the feedback from the stream.
Yeah, Andre, can you put a headset on?
Andre, yeah, we can hear the feedback from the stream.
Mob hits as to what Manny's drawing that's under NDA, sir. But anyway, so people think Microsoft is like, I'm just going to go with it. Remember those old videos, right, of Nazi Germany spreading across Europe like an octopus or whatever, right?
So people replace Germany with Washington State and green arrows.
Yeah. So people see it this way. But no, it's not like that. Again, and again, I know some of you guys dispute this now. Activision was on sale, and they went to Microsoft. This isn't Microsoft gobbling everybody up. They bought Bethesda. Yes, that was big, but they weren't going. And I know there was a point where Microsoft did try to buy Activision back in the day. But I'm talking about in this instance, it was Activision. And Microsoft has the money, you know? So what are they going to do? You know? So again, I don't like this whole narrative that, oh, Microsoft's gobbling up everybody. No, they were present. If you were Microsoft, you would have done the same fucking thing, you know?
That implies hostile takeovers.
Yeah, and it's not. They came to Microsoft.
Yeah, like, if this were a hostile takeover, we would be having a completely different. Completely.
Me and Brett would be on you guys' side. Complete. All of us would, you know? All of us would be on your side right now.
I'm going to just throw this out there. I'm going to say this. I'm going to just make you more mad because here's the dirty, rotten, straight truth. Yeah. Y'all are fucking fanboys. Straight up, that's the problem. Like, here's the thing. You are upset about possible exclusivity for a decade down the road for systems that are fucking hypothetical. You have sworn your allegiance a decade down the road for a product you don't even fucking know that hasn't even been dreamed by the engineers who are going to fucking invent it. If you are upset about exclusivity after a 10-year window, you are the hardest kind of simp because you have already just decided that you are a lifelong loyal emissary to a fucking company, right? Somebody that is getting money out of you, right? Like, I understand trying to see where these guys are fucking coming from and trying to understand points of view. And I can even understand saying, hey, some of these companies, some of these video game developers are full of people who are really passionate about what they do, right? But saying, I don't care, I don't know what's going to happen, but 10 years down the road, I got my fucking Sony hat on. You're a fucking fanboy. And that's the problem right here. And that's the reason Adam isn't here. So if you are getting that upset about the exclusivity at the end of that 10-year fucking window, just hang it up, man. Just realize that you're getting upset over what you really shouldn't be. And you're being aligned with things that you really, like, you shouldn't have opinions that hard about things that haven't happened a decade out. Chill the fuck out.
Yeah. All right. We got to introduce our good friend, Mr. Andre Tipton. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
Not much. Yeah. So, Taco Man, you already know what we're talking about, man. What's your view on, you know, the latest happenings with the FTC? So the latest thing is like basically. Yeah, go ahead, man.
That is why I like Brett.
Yeah.
Brett put that's the nail in the head, right? That's the nail in the hammerhead right there, man. That's I mean, I'm sitting here listening to this. It's like somebody even said, like, well, if Sony goes under, does anybody not understand how deep everybody's pockets are? Everybody has deep pockets. Everybody. And Sony is not. Listen, you got to know how Japanese business works. You got to understand. Sony is just not going to walk up to Square and go, hey, are you for sale? I want to buy you. That doesn't work like that. They have to be in dire straits or looking to be acquired or looking to partner with, you know, they'll get a bunch of exclusive stuff, but that's it. And the Microsoft thing, I mean, this is America. People buy companies in America all the time. Like you said, this is a hypothetical. A lot of this stuff is hypothetical. This stuff is, when they acquire all these companies, there's not going to be any product shown for years. You have to develop and curate all this stuff. It just doesn't happen overnight. And just play what you got and shut the fuck up. My God.
Yeah, you know, people are getting worked up, man. And it's got to a point, Andre, where Adam, he's not going to be on Throwdown until this is over. He's sick of the toxicity. You know, how upsetting is that? We're supposed to be talking about video games, but instead we're talking about acquisitions, you know?
And I mean, does anybody on the podcast have a business degree?
No.
No, none of these armchair analysts, and that's what I'm calling you, all these people online are going, well, you know, if so-and-so did this and blah, blah, blah. Dude, who cares? Who cares? We're talking about video games. This shit's supposed to be fun. Chill.
Yeah,
my God.
But again, they fear that Microsoft's just going to gobble everybody up, you know?
Listen, Microsoft's got deep pockets. They can't buy everybody. But first of all, you have to be for sale for people to buy you first. So, I mean, you know, you can't buy something that's not for sale.
Yeah. And again, I'm glad you bring that up. It's not that Microsoft went, oh, we're going to gobble up Activision next. Activision came to them.
They were hurting for cash.
Mm-hmm.
They had bled dry, so they had hemorrhaged money so long, depending on, oh, let's make sure we put Skyrim on every device ever, and let's make sure we put Call of Duty on everything. You can't bet on those two yes, they're cash cows, yes, but that's not the only thing they have. So they have to they have to, you know, vary their product. It's like you have to get everybody interested. I mean, you have to. That's why King is involved. You got King in there, all that. You have to get the money, you know. And then King didn't even, they didn't even perform well enough so to help save them either. So they got all these people together, and they still needed help. So they went to Microsoft. They went to people that they had thought had the deep pockets. Hey man, let's work together. Let's do something. Yeah. I mean, it's. But the thing about this has happened many times in this business. This happens all the time. Remember, you'll play a game. You'll say, man, what happened to the company that made that game? Oh, when the game came out, they fell under. They went under, and somebody else acquired them. It happens all the time.
THQ.
Yep. Oh man, rest in peace.
Yeah. The original THQ.
Yeah, you're right. Because the new THQ is just THQ. You know, not. But no, but
yeah, it's Nordic Games, and they renamed themselves. But no, it was the whatever THQ was originally is not whatever this company is now. That company is now.
Okay, I'll give you like a small example, and me and a few of you guys are probably the only people that know anything about this. When the PC Engine was the number one console on the planet, and they were kept flooding games out there, they had tons of money. They had tons of product. They were the top dog. And over time, they were like, okay, we thought we were the shit. So we just kept cranking out stuff. Next thing you know, we're losing money.
Yeah.
So they had to close up shop. They tried to reinvent themselves. They had to close up shop. And then Konami said, hey, we like you guys. Let's just buy you. And then they acquired them. I mean, they acquired them because they were hurting for money. That's how that worked. They were like, hey.
NEC. Yeah. Yep. It was a. It was that they ended up working together a lot until to the point where NEC was just almost a shell of a company, the Japanese earthquake, they actually couldn't really survive that.
Yeah.
So their company was already diminished by that point in general. So they had already been working with Konami, with Bomberman and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So they just essentially just like, yeah, we can't survive this. So they just essentially, you know, bought the whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. But that usually, that sort of stuff doesn't happen in Japan. Usually, no. if it's a merger,
it has to be something catastrophic.
They become something like a Square Enix or Sega Sammy, you know,
right. Bandai Namco, like yeah.
Bandai Namco, yeah.
Or Namco Bandai, as they used to be called, yeah.
Yes.
People forget that, but yeah, it's again, man. It's just, tempers are flaring too much over this stuff, man. And it's over. I'm not. Here's the thing. I understand the concerns at a base level. Yes, we don't want like two or three companies owning everybody. I get that, but that's not what's gonna happen. You know, like Andre said, these companies need to be on sale. You know, and like, for example, people are like, oh, they're going to buy up Sega next. Sega's like, no, we're not up for sale. they can't just come in there and buy them. You know, it doesn't work like that. It's crazy. Rich, get in here, man, because remember, you were specifically asked to be on Throwdown by Jay Shep. So, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this continuing drama.
First and foremost, excellent thoughts by everybody so far. And a shout out to Mr. Otaku Man, the legend.
Yes.
my man Rich. What's up, bro?
Yes, sir. What's going on? So, my thoughts on this. My honest opinion, I don't give a damn what happens. Now, let me explain a few things. All right. First and foremost, I understand there are people that are angry. I question whether or not those people actually ever play Call of Duty or will play Call of Duty, because it feels as though the basis of the case was focused on Call of Duty, which is a game that will continue to be on every platform. So I didn't really understand where the anger is coming from. I understand there is a concern that Microsoft will just continue to gobble up a whole bunch of companies. But one thing that I think does have to be said is that the public opinion does matter. You know, Microsoft got exposed this entire case. So if you think that they're going to operate everything the same way that they have been doing, I kind of think they know people have been watching. They can't just operate everything exactly the same. And what Tony said about them taking some time away from acquiring. I do think that is going to happen after this because they need to really focus on the return on investment with all the stuff they've already acquired. We've only really started to see some games that they're working on with this last showcase. So I really don't think that they're going to be able to continue to be given the opportunity to buy all these companies when the companies they already have aren't really doing anything at all. They really need to shift their focus on the games they have coming. So that's number one. Now, as far as them, all the statements about them outspending Sony, what I really don't understand is the people that think that Sony is in danger. Did people not follow the news about what's been happening at Sony? I saw today they announced, oh, we have a ton of plans for the Horizon series. Everybody knows the Spider-Man 2 drops in October, and that's going to sell and move a ton of PlayStation 5 consoles. Not to mention God of War, The Last of Us, all these other IPs. Sony has done all the work you should do as far as building up your first-party studios. So anybody that has an extreme thought that because Microsoft wins this case, Sony is in trouble, I really will question what school they went to if they think that, because it just doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, you're trying to say this is a doom gloom situation for Sony. It's not. And I will also add again, Sony has other exclusive third party deals. We just saw Final Fantasy 16, which is on PlayStation. However, you know, in December, at the end of December, it will be eligible to come to PC, finally. But what I'm basically saying is they have access to a lot of games that aren't on every platform. So we can't sit up here and act like Microsoft shouldn't have access to their own games as well. But again, I'm going to go back to the point that Microsoft, they already have enough studios, so they need to focus on working with what they have and stop acquiring all these other studios. That's what I would say moving forward. But to answer the question specifically about what I think about this case, I did get a chance to watch some of the hearing today because Adam sent me a link to this hearing that the FTC was in. And I'm just going to say this because this hasn't been said yet. When I saw the hearing and they were listing all the stuff that FTC should be focused on as far as other case, there are a whole shitload of things they should be focused on that are more important than this gaming shit. So I really didn't understand when I heard Microsoft brought up and then I hear, oh, but we have all these things going on. You have people messing around with Ring technology. They made a mention of somebody, of kids that were being threatened to get killed, so on and so forth. An old woman who was harassed as well. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, the corrupt nature of the education system. It's a whole bunch of other stuff that the FTC is fighting for. And for that reason, I would say that's good. They should focus on that. But when I hear stuff like this Microsoft merger brought up in these discussions, this game and shit has absolutely nothing to do with some of the other serious things happening in this country today. So I think they need to focus on that. And by the way, they did say that they were going to get a 25% reduction in their budget because of their lack of leadership in the way that they have been operating as a company. So that should tell you right there, they aren't really fit to really have this whole case in the first place. I understand there are people that they were happy to hear that they appealed. And of course, that appeal was denied. Obviously, we'll see what happens from here on out. But my final word I would say is that if you are worried about this to this extent, I would tell you, listen, there are a ton of games to play. I really don't understand why you're so concerned about this. This is a fucking fantastic year to be a video game fan. So I don't understand why anybody is bitching and complaining and worried about what's happening in legal stuff and acting. As Andre said, as armchair analysts, I really like that definition. I don't understand law. I'm not going to waste my time on law. All I know is I have access to... No, not that either. All I know is I have access to every console I need. So whatever happens, I'm going to continue playing games. And at the end of the day, I don't really care what happens. This is business stuff. As Andre said, there's always going to be a company that's up for sale. We know that. We've been in this industry long enough to know this. So again, if you are very concerned about this, I would just encourage you, listen, don't worry about it and just play your games. I mean, I really don't understand why there is so much hysteria. Oh, Sony's going to be in trouble. We have to worry about this. Man, there's so much more to life. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. But that's just my opinion. And again, if you're angry, I apologize. But I don't know, man. I'm too busy playing games to worry about this shit. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I was just checking the Throwdown Discord right now. Something controversial has happened, man.
No.
Uh-oh.
Dumeke is now saying he just wants this to be over.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
I agree. I said, remember, I went on my rant weeks ago on this shit. I'm like, why are we still talking about this? Like, I didn't find this stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, it kept escalating, you know? And I will admit, though, that trial was pretty fucking entertaining, I must say. You know,
I mean, there were definitely juicy details.
Yeah, like sure. That was probably the highlight for me. There was a lot of juice coming out, a lot of interesting things. But again, man, like I want this to be over. I hope, you know, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is not a favorite of mine, I'll just leave it at that. Hope they don't appeal it. You know, I hope they just like let it go. It's like, we need this to be over. This is fucking done. I want to talk about games again. This is games are actually coming out now. You know. Can we talk about that, please? But it is what it is, man. I don't know.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
I will mention, like Rich mentioned, I do understand people's disappointments. There are people who do have legitimate concerns. The overwhelming percentage of people that are complaining are just fanboys.
Yeah, let's just be honest. I'm not saying the Throwdown guys are. I'm not saying the guys in the Discord are fanboys. I'm saying the large majority of people are fucking fanboys. Let's just be real here. You know,
if you go on Twitter, if you go on Twitter, it's several combinations of things. You have PlayStation fanboys who are bitching and moaning. You have Microsoft fanboys who are like grandstanding and like acting like all high and mighty shit with their arms crossed, like. It's like you're seeing those tweets, man.
Yeah, no, I'm laughing because Bob Piz goes, "I was the fanboy." No, but I've seen the tweets. Go ahead, Rich.
No, I just was gonna say, yeah, the fanboy response to this has been ridiculous. Now, I'm pretty sure you guys saw when the appeal happened. Somebody actually went to the Wikipedia page for FTC and put an image of PlayStation on there. So that's what I said. it's just ridiculous. The fanboy stuff is outrageous.
Yeah, but I gotta say this just real quick. But I also get it, because here's the thing. This is why the FTC ultimately lost. I mean, they were gonna lose regardless. But okay, their case was, we need to stop this merger or acquisition because, you know, we are afraid of what's going to happen to the industry, right? That's what they claimed their case was. The actual case was, this is how this acquisition is going to hurt Sony. That's what their case was, and it was flimsy as shit. You know, if their case had been, this is how it's going to hurt the industry, that's a stronger case. But they couldn't make that because they have no facts to back it up. So they're like, this is how it's going to hurt Sony. And they still didn't have enough facts to back that up either. You know, again, this is how it's going to hurt the biggest player in fucking gaming. Yes, Microsoft has more money than Sony. This is true. But the PlayStation division makes way more money than the Xbox division, right? Mm-hmm. PlayStation has been dominant since 1995. You know, and you're afraid they're going to go under because Microsoft is going to buy fucking Activision? Come on, son.
Yeah,
get out of here with that bullshit.
Logic wins. Says Xbox guys twerking on Fifth Avenue right now. And Mobbit says Xbox fanboy celebrating like they won the World Cup. man. You know, the whole thing with this, also, you know, buyer beware. Don't think that Microsoft's going to acquire Activision Blizzard and it's going to be the status quo. Things are going
to
change.
Oh, yeah, they are going to change. But to that end, don't think that if this deal had fallen through, that things would go back to normal, that Activision would just somebody was going to buy those motherfuckers. And as I've said, it is better for Microsoft, an American company, to buy fucking, you know, Activision than some fucking communists, you know? So be thankful it's Microsoft and not Tencent, you know? Anyway, Carlos, go on. Not only do I want Rich to go next, but Rich, Jay Shep is in the building, man. So Jay Shep, here he is. Richard Bailey Jr. is in the house for you, son.
Uh-oh.
You know,
you may have to tell him. You may have to tell him to rewind the feed.
Yes.
As to what I said earlier. I just was going to make a comment and say, so Tony, to go to what you said.
Oh, hold on. I got to play the sound, man.
All right. Oh,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So, to go to what you said. So let's say that Tencent did, that this fell through and Tencent did decide to buy Activision, and then they decided, well, you know what? We don't want this on Xbox or PlayStation. Now, how do you think the fans would feel then?
Oh, shit. You're right. And Rich, let's go even further, right? Let's go for another company that could buy them. You want Apple buying this shit? We're going to relegate all Activision games to Apple fucking computers that can't even play games? Come on,
that
man.
That would be terrible.
You know?
They're working on that layer.
Metal 3. Yeah.
And that will definitely be exclusive. They're worried about Microsoft buying stuff and making it exclusive. If Apple buys anything, it'll be on Apple hardware only.
Exactly. And that's, do you want that? Or Google. Or Google, yeah. Google, because they're a trusted name in gaming, you know?
Yeah, look at Stadia.
Exactly. So, out of
virtual console ever.
Yeah. So, out of everybody that could have bought them, Microsoft is the best one. Everybody else is a horrible fucking decision. All of them, you know?
Well, I mean, also, like, can we... I think a lot of the people, like, in the Twitterverse, and that you know, that's, I think, what we're all railing against here. That are freaking the fuck out right now. Like, I don't think that they're afraid of dominance. I think that they're afraid of parity, and I don't understand why. Like, none of y'all can really think Sony's going to be dethroned. Like, Sony, like, bruh, they've been king for 20 years, right? Like, you might be able to take them down a peg or two, but that's fucking about it. Like, I can't be the only one that is, like, perfectly secure in Sony's future.
Yeah, hold on, Brett, I got to pull the nerd fixing his glasses. Actually, it's been 28 years.
Oh, okay. Does anybody think Sony's not going to be okay?
Well, I will say this. This whole acquisition thing, you know, freaking is, what, $69 billion acquisition? $69 billion, and it's one of the biggest companies right after they got Bethesda,
yeah.
After they got Rare, after they got Double Fine, after they got you know, the people who made New Vegas, you know, all of these companies. And now the ball's in Sony's court. And I actually, one of the things that I do, now that this has gone through or is going through, and there's going to be hardly any roadblocks now that the CMA is chilling out with this, it's like, I do, you know, PlayStation fans or your fanboys or whoever in the like on the Twitter series, you're cheer for the Square Enix acquisition, because Microsoft can't say shit about that, you know, because honestly, if Sony gets, like, let's say they get From Software and Square Enix, it'll be much less than getting Activision. And, you know, for a lot of gamers, it'll be a much better deal. So, you know, if you want to let them fight like that. Don't bust out no death threats on fucking judges and bullshit like that.
Oh my God, I didn't hear about that happening, but it happened, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised. real quick, Jay Shep says, wait, Microsoft is just another $1 trillion company that can't make good games like the rest of them. Microsoft Xbox, that has been a gaming entity since 2000, right? I believe it was 2000, 2001. They have a history of gaming, and there was a time where Xbox was the dominant force. It was brief, I'll give you that. It was brief, but they were the dominant force in gaming. When people thought gaming, they thought Xbox 360, right? So they have a history. Yes, I know that squandered the Xbox One era, fucking the lost decade that brought, but they actually have a history. Google doesn't have a history with gaming. Apple sure as fuck doesn't, you know? And yeah, Tencent does, but again, you don't want those motherfuckers owning Activision. You do not want that, you know, because they will piecemeal that shit. That's horrible. You don't want that, you know?
Oh, Manny, you need to
go. Okay, ahead. Okay.
And a much more specific thing, you know, because a certain Chinese, they had certain stakes in a certain country's government, they couldn't say certain things. Remember that one time when they banned that one person because he said something about something a certain country didn't like?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, we know a certain Mr. John Cena had to bend the knee to these communists, you know?
Yes.
By the way, real quick, Jay Shep, Microsoft has been in third place for 20 years. No, they haven't. Again, during the 360 era, they were actually like number one. Actually, no, number two, because Nintendo was fucking killing it with
the Wii. No, they're number three. They ended up number three.
No, they ended up. But I'm talking about, again, I said for a brief moment of time, you know? So it wasn't 20 years straight. There was a brief moment of time when 360 was the thing in gaming. You know, and that's the era that the Xbox still cling to. It's like the fucking being a Mets fan, 1986, man.
Chris. But the thing about it is also like at that same moment where people were saying, oh yeah, PlayStation's done, they should give up.
Fucking Gabe Newell said that, you know.
Gabe Newell said they shouldn't even be making consoles. All kinds of crazy shit.
Remember that? Remember that?
I still have my 1986 championship shirt from when I was 9 years old.
Yes.
I have a newspaper clipping of it when they won.
Nice. So there was that brief moment. But no, overall, yes, they've always been third place. But again, they actually have been in the gaming industry doing gaming things, not like these other clowns, you know?
You know, I mean, there was a point in time Sony was trying to make the Halo killer.
They were, yeah. Again,
they wouldn't do that for some bullshit company.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And I do agree with J-Ship. 360 era was my favorite era as well.
Of gaming? That was probably the last great era of gaming, to be honest, in my opinion. You know?
That was where most of the innovative games came out.
Yeah, you're right, because Kotaku, man, you know what happened after that. Innovation went downhill, you know?
Of course, yeah.
What's up, bro?
One thing that I've been waiting for people to mention it online or anything. You guys, all you fanboys, you do realize this is where the hard work starts now. So you might as well just chill because they got a lot of work to do. None of this stuff's going to come to fruition for another 3-4 years anyway. You know, maybe some stuff behind the scenes that have been worked on, you know, will come out earlier, but this is where the work starts for Xbox. So, and Bethesda and everybody, the hard work starts now. So everything that they've already acquired, that stuff's going to be coming out, but this is where the hard work starts. So they got to get to work.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You can't be sitting there talking about, well, what's Sony going to do? Dude, who cares? They got to go to work. So, I mean, they're not paying attention to you motherfuckers. They don't care. Listen, you can say all the shit you want to. They don't care. We got to go to work.
No, you're 100% right. Now it's like, okay, you got Bethesda, got Activision. Let's see something. You know,
you gotta show the
hey, Carlos, 55 minutes. No, Adam, we got it, man. Gotta have something.
Gotta have something. I mean, Adam's not with us, but his spirit definitely is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Gears. You know,
remember when Gears
came out, man? Like everybody was getting that 360. You know, and Call of Duty, right? It was on every platform. But what did people associate Call of Duty with for many years? The 360. You know, so
until the PlayStation 4 came out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then we know what happened there. but yeah, man. So, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Hopefully they'll just let this die so we can just go on with our lives, you know. And yeah, I don't know. Any more thoughts on this bullshit?
Just play games. Just sit down somewhere and play games.
Jesus Christ. Right? You know?
Yes.
How about, get a Steam Deck, go outside, man. You know?
Something. Do something. I don't care what you play. Oh, shit. Go play checkers, bro. I don't give a shit. Go play something. Shit.
That's what I don't understand. This is obviously a standout year in gaming, but I guess some other people want to be preoccupied with other stuff. I mean, I really don't get it because I've been busy this entire year. I've been busy playing games, so I don't have time to worry about this shit.
By the way, I got to read this. Jay Shep cracks me up. He goes, I'm not wishing this, but if Activision fails under Microsoft, you guys are going to have to kick me out. I'm going to be asking about a question about this every Sunday. Fair enough, man. Keep it coming. Oh, my God. I don't even know what else happened in gaming this week, man. Like, again, this has just taken up every fucking available thing.
It dominated the airwaves to the point where we literally didn't even do any show notes.
We didn't need to. I think for the last three episodes of the main throwdown, we haven't had to do show notes. It's just you know, taking over. Damn, Mob Hit says nothing happened. All right, so let's get, what's up? Somebody was going to say something? Guess not.
Nope.
All right, let's talk about the games we're actually playing, man. Andre, what have you been playing lately, man? What's gotten you going?
Recently, I just picked up a second backup PS Vita. And,
shit.
I modded it, and I've been playing Vita stuff, dude. I've already got a Vita, but I've just been
downloading. Vita's life.
I've been doing all this other stuff and playing all these other games, man. It's just like, man, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, stuff like that. I'm about to redo Spider-Man. You know, I've just been playing that stuff. We're working a lot, so I ain't really be playing a whole lot.
Yeah.
Manny, you got the OG?
Got the OG. Yeah, Otaku man. Which Vita did you get?
Well, I've got the OG. I've got the OLED. I got the white OLED, but I got a slim. I got a blue slim.
Yeah. Man, yo, I'm still tight. I didn't buy that blue slim before the price went up. You know, they got this thing too, because I want to have a backup one, you know? Because I got the OG as well. But yeah. That's dope. Rich, what about you, man? You know, you said you've been playing a lot of games lately. So what have you been playing lately?
So I actually just did a review for Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals that I published today.
Nice.
Been playing that on PlayStation 5. You know, if you're a fan of the first Oxenfree, you'll probably enjoy this game. I've been playing a lot of stuff. I've also played some stuff. I don't really know if I can talk about it yet. I'll just say that there's a couple of games coming out soon that I've gotten the chance to take a look at. So you might want to check those out. Oh, yeah, and I have been playing a game that Adam Vale is actually going to be reviewing, this Double Dragon Gaiden game that's coming out later this month.
Yes.
Yeah, I did like a little video preview for that over on the Coalition Gaming channel. So if you are looking forward to the game or you want to get some more information, I would encourage you to check out that video. Plus, Adam is going to be doing a review sometime later this month because it's not out until, I think, July 27th. Look for that. But yeah, I just been busy playing a few different things, trying to look into the backlog. And I did start playing Alan Wake again because I got to get ready for Alan Wake 2.
Nice.
So
now, Rich, yeah. I have a question. It's one of, you know, obviously, you know, don't answer yes or no, but it's one of the games you're playing. Does it involve primitive creatures that are extinct that are known for being giant?
Well, that is a great question. I hate to disappoint, but no.
Interesting.
And I have to say thank God, because I heard that that particular whatever you're calling is a monstrosity. Literally,
the monstrosity.
that's what I heard. And by the way, I think you can mention that because it will be out in about 15 minutes.
Okay. I could mention it because you're not playing Exoprimal. So I guess it's trash.
I mean, I was contacted about potentially playing the game, and
so was I. By the way, I declined.
No, that's not gonna happen, Captain. No,
yeah, you know. I was like, I'm good. You know, I'm good.
What, you don't want to play? You don't want to play Ryu not in Street Fighter? What's wrong with you people?
Oh my God! Think about Boondocks right now. Why do you like R. Kelly? He good. Cause he good. Man, Boondocks was the shit, man. Let's do a double header here, man. Carlos and me finished that Final Fantasies, man. Right. Oh, hold on, we can do the real shit right now. You know, where is it? Hold on. There we go. Yeah, man. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yo, this game, you know, the last time we talked about it, I was probably like less than halfway through the game. there's a point in time where it just goes full throttle, man. Sort of, you know, after that one moment where, you know, a couple of, you know, I won't even say it, but
yeah, Jay Shep, don't worry. Adam's not here. No spoilers for anything. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Yeah, it goes freaking 100 miles per hour, man, and it never stops. It's
yeah.
So the boss battles, some of the best boss battles I've ever played, man.
Yeah. Oh, in any game, it's
any game.
Yeah.
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yes. This isn't a spoiler. As far as game of the year, where, you know, in let's say in the top three, how would you say this game ranks so far on your list?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this year, right? It's unfair for me to go, this is game of the year, because what else is there?
I mean, other than Forspoken, I mean.
Yeah, here's the thing. The only other, yeah. Oh, my God, that trash. Like, Jedi Survivor, that ain't it. And you know, I'm pretty sure somebody would be like, yo, what about Resident Evil 4? Yes, great game, but it's a remake. So I don't count that, you know? So to me, it's game of the year currently by default because not much has come out. But, you know, as I've been telling the fellas behind the scenes, to me, it's going to be between Final Fantasy 16 and Spider-Man 2. Those are the top dog games for me. And it'll be very interesting to see which one ultimately connects with me more, you know. Spider-Man will probably win out in the end. But Final Fantasy 16 is so fucking good, man.
Yo,
like,
Tony.
Like this game, because let's just be honest, some of the other, like 15, let's just be real, the ending wasn't all that. Like, the way this ended, I was very satisfied. Yeah. Very satisfied.
Yeah. You know? Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yo, Tony.
What up?
Tell me why this game is a God of War Dragon Ball Z game.
Oh, shit. I can see what you're talking about.
Well, that's... You know, the crazy thing is, like, it does so many things that are well, you know, well done. And it reminds me a lot of God of War in a lot of aspects. And some of the fights, it's like, it gets freaking crazy, man.
Yeah, I know what you mean with the Dragon Ball Z stuff. I know what you mean. It's like, hey, giant fucking fireballs clashing with each other and exploding from the center. Yeah. Or it's like, you know, shooting the powers, like, oh, it's pushing that fireball back. Oh, the other one's pushing the other one back. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't even think that's physically possible. Like, light can't do that, but fuck it. You know, it works. Oh, man.
And the story, it's probably one of the best Final Fantasy stories in a while.
Yeah.
It looks great. I do have, you know, it's, you know, when you think about it, like, this game at some of its peaks is some of the best stuff I've ever played in its peaks.
I feel like
there's a lot of other stuff that's lacking with the game.
Level design for
I don't
me,
feel like
you know
level design is a huge one. The side quests are another one.
Until the end, you notice what I'm talking about with those side quests. At the end, they're like, yo, these are good. What happened? You know?
Yeah, there are some good ones. I still feel like they can be better, but I haven't done all of them. So to be fair with it, I haven't completed every quest.
You're going to see like the last like 10 of them, they're great. I'm like, damn, why couldn't we get this quality for all of them? You know?
I don't know if to ask this question. Where are these quests? They're green, right? They're green quests.
Yeah, they're green. Yeah,
and they're in the base.
Yeah, most of them are in the base, and there's a couple. Like when you right before you get to the last mission, like a good six of them pop up in the base, and then there's like four around the map. You know,
gotcha.
And then there's a couple in your ledger. You know how you have a book and shit. A couple show up there as well. So it's like a good And those are like the best of the thing, and they're involved too. It's like, you know, you can't just be like, I'll do a quick side quest. Like, no, they take a while, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're involved. I'm like, I wish you know, the other ones could have been like that. But yeah, level design is probably my biggest gripe, you know, with it.
And to answer Rich's question again, it may or may not be my game of the year. I still need to, like Tony mentioned, he's got Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man is definitely one of those that I'm looking forward to. Starfield is another one, and Diablo I still need to play.
Diablo.
So there So there's still, you know, Diablo. There's still some that can.
That's how Torrance said it, Diablo.
Diablo.
Yeah.
Kill me. And yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how those are. But you know, it is by default my game of the year. But even if it doesn't end up being my game of the year at the end of the year, it's a worthy game to, you know, put it in those types of categories for me.
Oh, what about
what's wrong with the level design?
It's very straightforward. It's
really linear.
It's ultra linear. You know, it's the same level design of an action game, basically.
Is it about as bad as Lightning Returns?
Or Final Fantasy 13? Yeah, those even had more exploration, to be honest. You know, 13, because the other 13 games had better level design.
So you would say it's Final Fantasy 10 level then?
No, because that had more stuff going on in them.
Hmm.
But Mop Hits was, what about Tears of the Kingdom?
Oh, Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I'll text you this question.
Okay.
There's something that bugged the shit out of me during this game.
Yeah, no spoilers.
That it could be something that I'm just too dumb to realize. I'm going to text you during the show and just be like, yes or no.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I had to with the game. Great game. Great game.
Great series. Tears of the Kingdom. Anybody want to say anything about that potential game of the year? You already know I was going to win the Keeley Awards.
Oh.
You
know? I think
it's Zelda. Zelda like automatically wins. It's
Nintendo,
it's gonna win.
They'll just make up an award for it to win. That's the way the Keeley Awards work.
Is it gonna be a game for change?
Best tune, best tune shaded game. Best adventure game.
Yeah, right.
Rich. Yes, you're right. I think this game is primed to win a lot of awards, especially the Keeley Awards. I did play the game. I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh my really good God! Game. Are you serious, Carlos?
Yeah. Okay, man. I don't. We'll talk this off air, so you can put me on blast. I know. It seems fucking stupid. I never thought about it, but then I thought about it towards the end. I'm like, how the hell do you do this? Anyways,
I got questions for you. Holy shit!
Yeah. Tony's gonna block me after the show.
No, I'm not. I'm just gonna call you stupid. But you know, I'm not fucking around. But it's like, okay, because I have a penchant for missing important things until the end of the game. But this is on another level, Carlos. You should be ashamed of yourself. Anyway, go on.
Well, don't think I didn't think about it. I thought about it during the game, and I'm like, I just didn't. For some reason, I never got to it. It's weird.
Yeah, we'll talk offline, man. Or off air, because nobody else will care. Go ahead.
So yeah, the Tears of the Kingdom. I played it for a couple of hours. It's really good. The level, you know, the opposite effect for Final Fantasies in this one. The level design is amazing. The new mechanics with the different systems that are introduced into this game are really 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 well done. There's a lot of things you can do. You know, you've seen online, and a lot of people have been creative, mostly with the phallic signals and stuff like that. So it's a really good game. I don't want to take any credit from it, but you know, it's not 100% my type of game. Final Fantasy 16 is more my game, because I prefer the combat in Final Fantasy 16, the story of Final Fantasy 16, the graphics, the music, the enemies. It's not even close.
And what Carlos is also saying, because that is a mature game, whereas Tears of the Kingdom, this is for the little kids, right? Right, Carlos? That's what you're basically saying?
I mean, it's for the little kids. I mean, Nintendo does not stray away from that type of messaging. Yep. Can't counteract that narrative.
Now, you gotta be thinking about that that clip from you know, Gamer 23, Grown Man Gaming. All right, Brett, tell us about Diablo, man.
Man, I'm still pushing on that to 100 grind. Oh, like shit. Level 87, 88, something like that. I don't think I'm going to make it by season one, man. But season one looks really, really cool. I finally understand the appeal of seasons, actually. It's kind of a neat thing. At least in this instance with like ARPGs and things like that, because like running through Diablo and leveling up, it takes a while, but like to get to level 50 where you start doing like the dungeon delves and everything like that, it doesn't take that long. So what they do is they kind of open up new server. This is the way I think about it, at least, and it helps me. What they do is they open up a new server and they say, anybody who wants to make a new character, starting a new server of all just new characters. And this one's going to have a twist, right? They're going to do these little aspects on it that subtly change your powers. Maybe doing a critical damage unleashes a little bit of lightning. But the way Diablo works, the way the builds work, is that a very small tweak here kind of goes into this Rube Goldberg machine, like, that becomes your build. Like, recently I adjusted my thing to, I throw out little pools of shadow damage. And I put a qualifier on that when that happens, it draws people in. Okay, so now when I throw like a bunch of them, it kind of sucks them all in and kind of pulls them towards me. Like, okay, well, I also have a Bone Storm. So I can turn my Bone Storm to a darkness ability that turns its own cooldown down by hitting people and consuming corpses of the people it defeats. Okay, that's cool. So let me get this straight. I can turn myself into a whirring vortex of death, and I also have another skill that groups and pulls people towards me. All right, so I'm just going to become a garbage disposal and just, like, pick on Bone Storm, start shredding, and then just pull everything in towards me and shred it in the center. And that's my build. So, like, finding out a little bit of electricity could make that, a whole lot different. It sounds like a small change, but it can be a pretty big thing. I'm looking forward to rolling a Necromancer again, but I want to do a Blood Surge. Like, the entire time I'm playing Necromancer, I'm like, I could have gone this other route. And exploding seems so much fucking fun. I want to do an explosion build. So I'm going to do an explosion build next time. And it's a good opportunity for people like Carlos to jump in on the thing and not necessarily feel like they're, just months and months and months behind everybody. So it helps keep things a little fresh. Like, I actually kind of wish they would do seasons on something like Elden Ring, just because I totally get the, okay, now everybody's kind of rolling this again, so you're not going to come into desolate servers. And they do these neat little tweaks. I think that they're going to have a lot more tweaks in future seasons, but they are just trying to, like, I don't know how much the developers even know what the fuck is going on in the game. It kind of seems like a black box situation. There's so many weird interactions that it kind of reminds me of Goat Simulator. Like, yeah, that every time I throw up my bone prison, it makes this ring that I have. It has a lucky hit chance on it for all my minions to explode. So every time I throw up my bone prison, my minions explode. Why? I don't fucking know. Does Blizzard know? Probably not. Something to do with the way that the bone prison is coded. It does vulnerable to itself or something like that. And then when it's destroyed, it does some other weird interaction that causes the ring to explode. So all my minions randomly explode. And it's fucking awesome. And nobody knows why. And I can't decide, like, part of me is like, that is a janky-ass way to put a game together. And the other part of me is like, kind of fucking like, so nobody knows how this shit is working. Nobody knows this the weird or wonderful or crazy efficient builds that you can do. You can find some weird interaction in the game and make an entire build about it. That's kind of cool. And then on top of that, every season they're just going to throw variables at the community. And I love the fact that they fully understand that they're going to break the game with these variables. That's why they're seasons. That's why after like 3 months, they're like, okay, hit the redo button on it, because that last season made like no sense, made everybody crazy powerful. Or, it made a barbarian build that can just stand there and their thorns damage is so bad that literally a boss runs up, punches them, and dies. Like, okay, cool. Weird interactions will happen. That's kind of the fun of it. I've been having a good time. It's a great podcast game. It's exactly that thing I was looking for, man. Where you're like, hey, I'm just going to chill out and do some stuff and play some Diablo. When you're really looking for a good story or something epic, that's when you got Final Fantasy. But for the most part, it's just fun. Diablo is like the Hostess Cakes of video games. Like, they're just good. I just like it.
There you go, man. Awesome stuff. All right, Chris, what about you? What you been playing?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been so busy with work and my daughter. I haven't played Jack. I played a little bit of Blasphemous that I picked up in a Steam sale, but the game is like brutally hard.
Oh, man.
When I play Castlevania, I know what I'm doing. No, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, oh, it's hard. It's hard as shit. I mean, I like it. I'm going to keep playing it, but it is fucking hard. But I love it. I'm playing it on the Steam Deck. It's great. And I picked up Black Mesa 2 was on sale, and I want to get into that because I love Half-Life, right? The original one. And that is like a nice HD remake of the original game. So I'll let you know how it is. I'm going to try it this weekend.
Nice, nice. Shout out to Mop Hits again for the bits, brother. Good stuff. Manny, I'm guessing you're the same boat, right? Too busy for the games?
Yeah, too busy. I've just been. You know, it's not like comic busy. You know, I still, you know, I'm not working till like 4 a.m. in the morning trying to hit deadlines. But yeah, just been a little bit busy. And I just haven't had the urge to sit behind the console in a little bit. But, you know, when the time comes, all of it's still waiting before me. I still got, I still have EX Troopers that still needs to be finished off. And I have Nier Replicant that's still waiting for me. So, yeah, and I'll eventually get onto there. I may end up playing that the Ninja Turtles, DLC that they put out.
Yeah, for Shredder's Revenge.
They did a really fun little thing in that one. They made alternate palettes that represent all the different iterations of Turtles beyond the classic ones.
Oh, nice.
So they actually have my the show that I did. Like, all the characters are all, their colors are all switched around to look like the iteration of Turtles that I worked on. Plug, by the way, you can get all of it on DVD currently right now. Ninja Turtles 2003. You can get every single episode, including the movie Turtles Forever. It's on Amazon right now.
You want me to get that Blu-ray?
Yeah, it's not on Blu-ray. Oh, okay. It's standard definition.
Yeah. Here's the thing, as I learned, DVDs still sell, or like if you look at the pie, they still make up a good chunk of
that
the
is, sale. Interesting
to me.
Well, it's because they're very cheap to make, and there's still people don't understand that these things are not HD.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, they'll put it on their big 4K television, and they're like, yeah, this looks great.
Man.
Like, no, it doesn't.
Like, it looks like shit.
It's still, you know, here's the one thing to know, though. You know, getting stuff on DVD in, you know, whatever definition they put on DVD is still actually higher than what it was on broadcast television. The DAT tapes beta tapes that we used to use are actually higher than broadcast. So you are still getting a better image than what you would have if you were getting it sent through your TV, through your little bunny ears, or through your cable system.
Yeah.
So it'll look better, just not nearly. And then animation always seems to look okay, you know, when it's blown up, and you know, also there's also the ability that they can do to sort of upscale things, which a lot of companies have done. Well, they're literally taking their old television and just like animation and stuff. Like Avatar: The Last Airbender was not a HD television show; it was a standard definition television show, and they upscaled that and they put that on Netflix. So there you go. But yeah, first time all of the episode, all seasons of Ninja Turtles 2003 has been available ever on all at once. You know, when we originally did the show, we didn't. We were trying to release every single season, but we never got to it. Nickelodeon bought the whole franchise, and we just stopped right there.
Oh,
there,
man.
You go.
But good at stuff. Least it's out. That's good.
Yeah, you know? And I'm excited to play that because it's got Usagi Yojimbo, and it's got a couple of other things in there. So yeah. Also, I have been dabbling and watching the new Final Fantasy game, so I do know some of the things that happened.
Oh. Like Jagon, man.
I don't have any urge to really play that game, but I do have an interest in what's going on with the plot.
So. Yeah, no, it's a good story, you know.
It's like a 7-hour movie, though.
It's long. it apparently, if you take all the cutscenes together, it's actually longer than the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, it's really long.
Yeah,
but a lot of those cinematics are those bullshit cinematics. You know, the ones where they're like. You know, the ones that Brett was complaining about?
Yeah, the stiff ones, yeah.
The stiff ones.
Yeah, that's how it is, though. Yeah, all right, and before we wrap up, I want to talk about something special, man. So, for you guys who may not know, my first like paid gig was for PC Mag and Geek.com, and Geek.com was basically where I was. This is kind of considered a derogatory term, but it's accurate. I was a permalancer. Rich otaku man, you know what that means. You know, yep. I was a permanent freelancer, right? So my editor there was Mr. Jordan Miner, who I met at Comic-Con, I believe, in 2015 when he was just starting out in the games industry at PC Mag, young guy, right? But I saw something in him, you know, it's like something special about this guy. So it was kind of interesting that he was my editor. So he now has a book that he's been working on for the past 2 years. It's called Video Game of the Year, and the book is finally out. Here it is, the physical, actual book. A lot of game journalists talk about, hey, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to release a book. This motherfucker actually did it, you know? And what's cool about this book is basically it starts from 1977 all the way up till now, right? And he highlights a game from each year and talks about it. But it's not really like an objective thing, like this is the best game of the year. He goes, this is what he feels is the most important game of the year, and then uses that to talk about a certain thing, right? Like one of the game, is that a dog, by the way? Shout out to Brett's dog. or somebody's dog. Like, for example, one of the more controversial entries in this is 2008. He picked Spore, right? He admits that is not a good game, right? But Spore is emblematic of the whole hype culture of video games, right? Where games can get so much hype behind them that no matter how much budget you could have from, they will never live up to expectations. Star Citizen, I'm looking at you, you know? So that's kind of the premise of the book, where he just uses games as a launching point to talk about something larger, you know? And he wrote 45 like essays for this. Basically, they're just really, really long reviews, right? And he also has contributions from up to 75 gaming journalists, right? Including your boy, you know? He, like, when he first started writing a book, he was like, Tony, you know, I want you to write a blurb for me. You know, pick a game. My first pick, I was like, Metal Gear Solid. I got to talk about that game. And he's like, our friend Tim picked that. I'm like, okay, Metal Gear Solid 3. And that's what I went with, you know. So I did a quick blurb about Metal Gear Solid 3, why I feel it's one of, you know, the game of 2005. And it's cool to see my words in a physical book. It's not just online nonsense that could easily be erased by like an EMP or something. Like if some shit like that happens, this will endure, you know. So shout out to Jordan, you know, for releasing this, and thank you to him for having me be a part of it. It's an honor just, you know, being among such illustrious company with other journalists. And an announcement that I will make tonight, Manny and I have had an idea for an offshoot throwdown show for a while, where we basically interview people from the industry, right? And, you know, going to the events, the book launch, talking to Jordan, like, I think this would be the perfect guy to have for this show. So we'll probably call it Throwdown Interviews, and we'll probably do that pretty soon for you guys. So I think it'll be cool. And just like this book, I want to use those episodes as a springboard to talk about a larger thing. Like, I want to talk to Jordan about, so the one of the reasons he brought this up, and he brought up a good point, this book talks about games that you can't even get anymore. So I want to talk to them about game preservation, because that's something we don't often talk about. Something that got lost, yep, in the shuffle that came out this week news-wise. 87% of the games, Otaku Man, you must have heard about this, right? 87%. I want your thoughts on this real quick. 87% of the games released in America, you cannot get at all in any way, shape, or form. Isn't that insane? You know?
That's the way it is, man. It's just, mm-hmm, that's how it is now.
Disposable media. I mean, like, and then, you know, again, a lot of people talk about all that wonderful digital stuff. You know, a lot of those games, once they disappear, you know, they're gone forever. You can't ever watch Willow ever again.
Crater, you know.
A lot of lost media going on right there.
Yeah. So I want to talk to him. And he also has, like, original art for every year, which is really cool, you know, instead of just like screenshots. I'm pretty sure there was some legal thing there. It's like really, really cool. I met the artist tonight. Cool guy, you know. he's on fire. There you go, NBA champ. You know,
I gotta talk. You know, on the show, I gotta talk to Jordan. I'm like, yo, man, what about your boy here?
Yeah,
man?
Right. Didn't you do something for him before?
Yeah, I drew him something for at the Comic-Con. I drew him, the Black Manta?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What about your boy, yo?
Yeah, you had to give him some shit, man. So we're gonna kick that off with Jordan, probably like an hour, talk to him about his book, and then, you know, I want to talk about game preservation, because that's a topic that's very important that people don't talk about, like you said, you know, because of the advent of digital. Yes, digital is more convenient, that's the way I consume my games, but yes, though, that causes problems when it comes to game here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Digital could be great for game preservation, but it's not being utilized the way it should be, you know. But even then, even if you theoretically had a place, like Steam is probably the closest we have to game preservation, but what if Valve goes out of business, right?
Yeah, or GOG. Like,
or GOG, GOG's
been pretty decent for game preservation.
Yeah,
that's what we've been talking about that for years, like literally like 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're talking about disk rot for like Saturn games and PC Engine stuff and stuff like that, which that's literally like a problem with maybe like 15% of the games. It's not a rampant thing, but it does exist.
And then not to mention the companies themselves being very lousy at keeping their their source codes or Sega. You know, talk about, you know, Square Enix, they've been notoriously, they literally had to redevelop all the Kingdom Hearts games, you know, because they didn't have the source code anymore. Right. So it's a lot, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. And, talking about game preservation, you know, at least Sony at least hired a guy to sort of like be a game preservationist at their own company, because they really need to keep track of that stuff. Because think about it, they could literally, at this juncture, they could literally have a lot of their well-known games on there, but they don't.
You know? No, it's the thing about it is, though, if let's just say with like Capcom, so you've got Marvel Super Heroes, the combo pack that came out that was digital only, they lost the light. They had to pull the games off the stores because of licensing issues. So now, if you don't have that game downloaded on your system, you cannot play it.
And
you think a lot of people think, "Hey, I bought this game digitally." No, you're like a long term renting this game, because once that server's down, it's over. It's done.
You know, a lot of them will say, "Oh, yeah, you can continue download a lot of your stuff over again." No, not everything.
The
Ubisoft Ninja Turtles game was gone.
Yeah.
Scott
Pilgrim? Scott Pilgrim.
Yep. Pilgrim. Yep.
Yep.
Couldn't even do it.
Hey, remember PT? Get that anymore?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
That one's been scrubbed, and that was like a free game. So.
Yep.
Or free.
Yeah, my friends at the Video Game History Foundation in Seattle, they've been trying to do game preservation for about the past like five or six, well, maybe like eight years. And there's a study that just came out that basically is like let's just say Yakuza for PS2. So unless you, even though there's a remake, we really don't count the remake because it's a remake. If you want to play that original game, luckily I have a copy. You have to go out and search for that game physically and buy it. That's the only way you can get it. And if you don't bother to go that route, the game basically doesn't exist to you. And that's how it is with a lot of the classic games, a lot of the older games. You got the digital stores and, with the Switch having all like Super Nintendo stuff and stuff like that. Yeah, you have all these options until they go away. And once they go away and they stop, basically it's like you either go out and spend hundreds of dollars to get these games or you pirate them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, man. It's like, here's the thing about pirating games, right? Like, I think I could speak for everyone where I'll say I don't condone it. But at the same time, if you can't get a game any other way, what choice do you have, right?
I mean, you go. You know, right? Me.
Yeah.
I've been collecting since the '80s, you know, when my Saturn collection got stolen years ago, I'm still trying to find those games. And those games have quadrupled in value. Sometimes even, you know, 8 or 9 times. Like, my favorite Saturn game is Burning Rangers. I bought that game for $60. If I go buy that game now, it's $600.
Jesus, bro.
So, I just saw I saw three copies at a convention recently, and I'm like, yeah. I have a way to play that game.
Yeah.
You know, not going to get into how I can play it, but I can play it.
But at the same time, isn't it upsetting that that is the only way you could play it because Sega isn't doing its due diligence by making sure these games are available to people? You know, it's bad. Terrible. Yeah, it's not good, man.
No, I mean, my thing is, like, I've been saying this for years. I don't want a remake of the game.
Yeah, you want the real game. Yeah.
Release the game as it is. Re-release it. So I'm limited. I mean, like, you know, I have friends at Limited Run and Strictly Limited Games and Super Rare. And I know these guys. And I'm like, look, can you guys not go back? And if you want to go back, let's go back. You're reprinting Game Boy Advance games and Game Boy games. Come on. Somebody has got an old Saturn dev kit somewhere. There's thousands of them out there. Somebody's got something where you can do this. You've got to be able to do it. I mean, I know people by the repro market. That's why the repro market is still, you know, nobody can really mess with the repros because people are buying them because that's the only way they can get them. Yeah, they might have to mod their console or find a way to use a device to play the games. But, you know, if you want to play these old games, that's the only way you're going to do it. Because these companies are not going to be, you know, there's not, I mean, yeah, I wish I had the money to I'd make a game company, but all I did was just reprint this stuff.
Yeah.
And mark, you know, just retail it. And, you know, just not, you know, I'm not trying to make $500 off the game. I want you guys to, dude, I want people to understand, I want people to play Burning Rangers.
Yes.
That game, there was an email mechanic in that game that has not been used in any other game since. There's so much about that game that's just groundbreaking, and nobody's done anything like it since. And it's like this is a game you should try it. You don't care how you play it, just find a way to play it. But there's thousands of games like that have just been you can't find them, and if you want to go and get them, you got to have some deep pockets, or you know you get on some website and download the ISO and blah 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 blah, and you know I don't know the recipe, but you know. But you just gotta. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, 80%. When it says, I read the report. It was so disheartening. And I'm a classic. I'm a retro. I collect everything. I collect any new games, old games, whatever. But I'm looking at that like, and I didn't even think about it like that. You are not gonna be able to play these games ever again.
Yeah, let me read this right. A new study found that the vast majority of video games with a physical release in the U.S. are out of print, which leaves a significant amount of the medium's history in danger of being forgotten. The study was called a survey of the video game reissue market in the United States, blah, blah, blah. So out of over 4,000 titles surveyed, only 13% of the total games are still on the market in one way or another, whether through reissues, digital re-releases, HD remasters, or retro collections. The rest are out of print and unplayable without resorting to software piracy. That's fucking crazy, bro.
I didn't think of it that way. I was like, wow, that's it's not exactly 100% that way, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other ways to play games, but I mean, you know, yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, I'm glad we brought this up. This story literally came out 2 days ago, but it got just buried under this FTC bullshit.
I read it. My friend Kelsey works for the History of Films Foundation, and she sent it to me, and I was like, I didn't even think of it this way. I've been a collector for years, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's eye-opening stuff, man.
And you cannot, I mean, think about it. All the Dreamcast games.
Mm-hmm.
All those, just games that people who are playing games now have no idea what it was like. And it's like, you don't even, I mean.
Yeah. By the way, real quick, Jay Shep, he never heard of Burning Rangers. No, unfortunately, you can't. You can't legally Steam Deck it, if you know what I mean.
Legally. Yeah.
That's one of the games that's not available. So you have to find other means. You have to sail the high seas. you know.
Mob hits, yeah. VCDs were the shit back
then. Yeah, VCDs, man. I remember that, you know. It's still funny, and I'm speaking for the older guys here. We're like, you know, obviously the Dreamcast is like a legendary classic console, but to me that's still like a new console, you know, compared to like, you know, Super Nintendo and the shit we grew up with, you know.
I mean, it's just, I mean, like, you know, Nintendo and Sega, some of the, you know, they bring out these classic consoles. I mean, and that's cool. I mean, if that.
Yeah, in some cases. I mean,
my thing is, if you get a chance to get one of these consoles, just get it. Because, like the TurboGrafx Mini, the PC Engine Mini, good luck finding one of those now.
I think that it's funny because that thing didn't do so well at all. Now that thing is worth so much money.
Oh, the original, dude. That's why
the original. And the Mini.
Yeah, the Mini, yeah. The Mini is, it was $99. Now it's like $400.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's sad. It's really sad that you, I mean, that piracy is the only way you're going to play some of these games. I mean, you know, like I said, a lot of stuff's very easy to do it. It's very easy to do it. But, I mean, it's just a lot of... You're gonna miss like that's like seven generations of games.
Yeah,
just gone. Unless you know somebody who's got them and you know you can go play them or whatever. But I don't know what these companies. I mean, it kind of makes you look at it like you know if they don't come up with something to keep these games. I mean, like I said, I'm a physical guy. I mean, I give you digital games a lot of times. We get a lot of review codes, so I have a lot of digital games for every system. So, but. Once these servers are gone and once these digital servers go by the wayside, that's it.
And
you got to keep a console loaded with games in order to keep them and play them.
And the problem is these companies don't have financial incentive to resurrect these games, you know, because a lot of them won't sell. Let's just be honest. A lot of them won't sell. True. You know, so it's like even though it would be for the benefit of the entire industry, they're not thinking that long term. They're thinking about how much money can I make now, you know?
You know what video games need? They need the Criterion Collection of
gaming. Right?
Literally, the Criterion Collection of gaming. In other words, a company that gets their hands on these games, they do all the work to preserve everything, get everything looking nice and sexy. You know, they license the game and then they put it out.
I would be down to do that. I would take on that task. I would definitely take on
and
that.
You know what's funny, and Manny, I'm glad you brought that up because I was unaware that there are actually a lot of other companies that are you know do the same thing Criterion does, right? So we have all these companies doing that for movies. Who do we have? Limited run games. You know, yeah, it's slim pickings here. You know,
there's limited run games, and then there's an English branch that also does it. It has a very similar sounding name to limited run games. Yeah. Only a few.
In Japan is Super Giant Games.
Super Giant Games?
No, that's not Super Giant Games. That's an actual studio, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was a studio, but regardless, the point stands that. There aren't exactly a lot of companies doing this stuff.
Oh yeah, I know you're done.
That you know what I'm saying? It's upsetting, man. Anyway, I think that'll do it for us for the night. Good show. Hopefully we won't have to talk about this FTC shit again. We probably, you know, but obviously if you want to ask us any stuff about it for the Sunday show, please feel free to. We're never going to inhibit you guys from the questions you could ask us, you know. Video game questions. Keep the AMA stuff for, we'll probably do an AMA special during the summer because we got episode 450 coming, you know. And I think it's time for a giveaway too, you know. Give some games out.
Yeah, man. Maybe we should be giving away a Spider-Man or something.
To be honest, man, we have enough money in reserve. Thanks to you guys giving us bits, we could probably buy a console this year. I think we probably buy a console, you know, by the end of the year or something. Let's do that. Let's buy him a console. Let's get him a PlayStation because you guys love PlayStation. You know, I just want to find a way of doing it because the way we've done it before and the way most people do contests is like subscribe. You know, and then like, you know, to win the console. But the problem is you get a bunch of people that subscribe and then they don't come back, you know. So we'll figure something out, something for the real fans. But time to do a big giveaway, you know. It's time. Andre, man, I want to thank you for being on. You know, as always, it's been a while. But, you know, anytime you're here, you enlighten us with all your knowledge, man. So it's always an honor not only to have you on the show, but just in general, it's an honor to call you a friend, you know?
Man, the honor is mine, dude. I mean, you guys, I salute you guys so much. You just have no idea. You guys are keeping, you know, I don't want to be that dude, but you're keeping black game journalism alive.
Thank you for saying that, man.
Sorry. You know,
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that's what's cool about this book. You know, it's a lot of different hues here, if you know what I mean, you know,
right.
Lots of different perspectives. So it's good to keep that going. I still believe, you know, your merit is what ultimately counts. But at the same time, you kind of want, you know, your own people represented too, you know. So we try to do that, but we do it the way it should be done, by just being here, existing, you know, because there are a lot of other people that just talk about it all the time. Like, you don't need to talk about it. Just be there. You know, because people will see that. People go, oh, shit, that guy's Dominican, that guy's Puerto Rican, that guy's black. Cool, you know?
The fact that you're in the room standing there with everybody else, that's already the symbology. You don't need to draw a giant arrow on yourself, because you just being there is the arrow. You
know? Yeah, that is the arrow. Yeah, exactly. So, Andre, man, thank you so much, man. It's awesome. But please, where can people find you? And if you want to plug anything, the stage is yours, man.
Yeah, the site is Real Otaku Gamer. We had an issue with our site. We had a big malware issue, and we couldn't save everything, so we was rebranded. The site is now the Otaku Authority.
Oh, nice.
So we're starting a new podcast soon. We got the ROG cast is still around. We're on every streaming platform. We got some new episodes coming up soon. My new interview show is coming out, I think it's September. That's where I go out and I call in all the favors from all the people way back in the day, and we're going to talk to everybody about some of the craziest stuff that's happened in the game industry over the years. It's
you've been talking about this for a while too, man.
It's been a labor of love, and I've just been trying to get the logistics right, and yeah, it's funny.
Are you gonna get Torrance on there? I know.
Oh yeah. Oh man, Torrance. Yeah, that's my man. We go so far back, it's crazy. And we didn't even know we went back that far.
Right. I remember that story. Yeah. It's fucking dope, man.
Everybody just keep playing. And just video games were created to have fun. So have fun. That's it.
That's what it's about. And obviously, Rich, I want to thank you for being on again. At special request, hope Jay Shep was happy to have you on, you know. Always enjoy your insight and... You know, again, Rich, you guys don't know, man. Like, we talk literally every single day. It's like that, you know. But yeah, Rich, go ahead, say your piece, man. Again, thank you for being on, man. This was always fun having you on.
Yes, sir. Always have a lot of fun being on, having a great discussion. Shout out to everybody that checked out the show. And shout out to you guys, and shout out to Andre. Stay tuned. There's a lot of things in the works.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Yeah, no, you guys don't understand, man. It's like Andre taught me and Rich so much. You know what I'm saying? So always grateful for this man.
I appreciate you guys.
Awesome. All right, people. So, Carlos, Walking Dead. What's going on with that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I Am Negan is a show that Adam, myself, and Rich do. We'll see. I don't know if Adam will want to be on that show.
Right, but you don't want to talk about the FTC.
we talk about The Walking Dead, anything, whether it's The Walking Dead proper, which ended, or Fear the Walking Dead, any of the spinoffs. We're currently talking about Dead City, which is the Maggie and Negan show. You know, our namesake, I Am Negan. We're talking about the show every week. We record a podcast on the Coalition YouTube channel. That's the Coalition with a K, or thecoalition.com, or any podcast app out there where you can just search I Am Negan and you'll be able to find it. And yeah, this week, this Sunday, we'll be posting our new episode on episode 5. This is a 7-episode, I guess like a mini-series. Six episodes. Episode 5 is going to be this weekend, the penultimate episode. Things are getting crazy. We'll see what happens. Oh. There hasn't been any nukes yet, so a little disappointed, but I know this is Rich's favorite show of all time, I think he said.
Well, Well, first and foremost, I have to interrupt you there, Carlos. It's not my favorite show, but I will say this. If you do watch the podcast, you're going to want to watch the next episode because there's going to be a lot of spicy stuff said.
Whoa. In that controversial things.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Oh, man.
You know, you guys can look forward to that. So make sure to check out I Am Negan on thecoalition.com, Coalition YouTube, or just search it on your podcasting apps.
Yeah, there you go, man. All right, people, we're done here. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And when things get spicy sometimes as well, you can also find Throwdown on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed our videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. And also stay tuned for Throwdown interviews that will be going up before the month ends. So it's going to be very, very cool. That's going to be a YouTube exclusive when it comes to video. Obviously, we're going to do the MP3 version, but that's going to be a YouTube exclusive. So that's going to be kind of fun. And yeah, for everything else, just check out the links below, man. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Happy Bastille Day.
Brett Murdoch.
Take it easy, people.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Mr. Andre Tifton.
Play what you enjoy. Have fun.
There you go, people. All right, we'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Peace.
Latest.